Welcome to Beyond Approach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lerzel.
We come to you from separate locations this time. I am in Flatbush. So I am recording on Lenape land.
Yes.
A nation that is one of many still very much out here doing its thing. And we'd like to acknowledge that. Tux is going to figure out where he is.
Yes. I am in Detroit, but I don't know what nation.
Oh, actually, I have an app.
Do it. Know. App it up.
Yeah, I have a native LAN app. What's your zip code?
48206.
Okay, never mind.
Not today.
I thought I could Google based on your, but it's having me like zoom in and look. I don't know if you can see.
I can't really read it. It's kind of blurry.
Yeah.
It looks like there's a lot of overlap between different nations.
You'll figure it out. Anyway, yes. So this is the show about whatever we want. It's the mini.
Mm-hmm. We're doing that mini thing.
Yeah, we be drinking. We be swearing.
Heck yes.
We be talking whatever the fuck we like to talk mm-hmm. about. Tux, take it away.
Yes. I'm taking it so far away. I'm taking us all the way back to Los Angeles in the early 90s again.
Boo. Yeah. I don't want to be there. That's a bad time.
I know. If you remember last week, I was talking all about sheriff's deputy gangs in LA County. So I was specifically focusing last week on the Linwood Vikings, who ruled Linwood in the 80s and 90s. And so if the Vikings sounded at all familiar to you, that's probably because of an old case from the 90s that has been getting a lot of media attention lately. Most notably on two episodes of a Netflix series called The Innocence Files. So this now famous case deals with a man named Francisco Frankie Carrillo. Yeah, I talked briefly about him last week. Frankie Carrillo was framed for murder by Viking deputies in 1991 and spent 20 years of his life wrongfully incarcerated for a murder he had nothing to do with.
Such a long time.
20 years, yeah. In last week's episode, I talked about how most of the Vikings' victims were young, Black, and Latino men who were somehow, some way believed to be associated with street gangs. And how it never really seemed to matter if the Vikings had any real evidence against these men.
Evidence? Or, what's that?
Yeah.
Can you eat it? That
sounds like oppression. Making us do our jobs.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
And it never really seemed to matter if these people were in gangs at all. All they needed was like a hint of a suspicion. And they were like, they're a gang member. Throw them in prison.
They're like, my cousin and them heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Wait, what? That's your evidence against me?
Yes, yeah.
Your cousin had a nail salon? Get the fuck out of here.
He looks that way.
Yes. He fits the description.
Yes, exactly. So that is certainly the case in this situation. So in 1991, Frankie Carrillo was a 16-year-old high school student. Oh.
He had his life ahead of him.
I know. 16 years old.
A baby.
He had grown up in Linwood, and he still had friends and family there, but his father had worried when he and his siblings were in school, he worried about all the street gangs in Linwood and decided to move the family away to a nearby neighborhood called Maywood.
Oh, my God. So his dad was actually doing the right thing.
Yes. Like, yeah. Frankie wasn't in a gang. Just plain and simple, he was not in a gang, he didn't have any tattoos, he had no criminal record, but he did have some friends who were in a street gang called the Young Crowd. And so a lot of people just sort of assumed that he was a member of Young Crowd too. At one point, he was actually stabbed by members of a rival gang who just assumed that he was part of Young Crowd and they were trying to, like, you know, retaliate.
Yeah, young man violence.
Totally, yeah. And another time, he and a friend of his were riding their bikes through a park when they were approached by Sheriff's Deputy Craig Ditch. And Deputy Ditch asked them if he could take their pictures. And they were like, no. Okay, like, whatever, why, yeah. What? Deputy Ditch was a member of the Linwood Vikings.
Oh,
Yes, and he worked for Linwood's anti-gang task force.
Stop it. Stop it.
Yes. So Carrillo had no idea why Deputy Ditch wanted his picture, but afterwards his image was added to a book of photos of possible Young Crowd gang members.
So this book was part of the department or was part of the... Oh, it was.
No, okay. Part of the department, yeah.
Okay.
Side note, Deputy Ditch was also named multiple times by name in David Lynn's civil rights suit against the county that we discussed last week. Multiple times by name in this lawsuit.
That's how you know he's good.
Yeah, exactly. After the Carrillo family moved to Maywood, things were really looking up for Frankie. He was expecting a son with his girlfriend at the time. And he said that it was a brand new life. But then, back in Linwood, a man named Donald Sarpy was murdered. One night around 7 p.m., a group of five black teenagers was standing outside of one of their homes, just kind of standing around talking. And one of the boys... fathers came out of the house and told them to come back inside. But just then, a car drove by that was filled with a bunch of young Latin men. And at this time, the predominantly black Crips gang was sort of like warring with the predominantly Latin Young Crowd gang. And so this car drove by slowly, kind of passed them, turned around, came back, and opened fire. These black teenagers kind of all scattered, but the father, Donald Sarpy, was fatally shot.
Oh.
This group of teenage boys, they, you know, were really freaked out, obviously.
Yeah. Their lives were almost ended. And they were, what, like, they were 16, 17?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And one of their fathers was murdered in front of them. So they cooperated when the sheriff's deputies showed up about this.
Of course.
They were really shaken up. They were really, like, you know, freaked out, and they couldn't really agree on very many details in how it went down and everything. They were like,
I mean, that's trauma.
Exactly.
It's
really
hard to remember when your life almost ended.
Yes, exactly. But the one thing that they all said when the sheriff's deputies showed up was that they didn't see who the shooter was.
Oh, okay. Of course. Because they were busy trying to save their lives, probably running for cover.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they got back to the station, of course, because they said that they hadn't seen the shooter, Deputy Ditch handed one of these boys this book of photos of potential gang members and basically forced him to make an identification.
And they added Carrillo to the potential gang members, even though, okay, cool,
yes,
cool, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
A member of Carrillo's legal team later said, this guy Ditch, he was a bad dude. He had it out for Frankie. Frankie's picture never should have been in that book. It's like you're riding a bike in the park one night, and now their picture is being shown to witnesses.
Yeah, it's very prejudicial. Like,
yeah.
They shouldn't have had his photo in that book unless, like, there was actual evidence against him.
Totally.
Like, corroborating the fact that he, look at me with my SVU, JD, yes. Corroborating. I just said corroborating.
You sure did.
Corroborating the fact that there's real evidence that he was a gang member.
Yes, exactly.
Which it wasn't.
It's funny that you brought up SVU because... So from your understanding of Law and Order, this is my next question. How does like suspect identification work, either with a lineup or with photos? When a witness is being asked to identify somebody, how does that process work?
So the suspects are all supposed to look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That's like point number one. Like, you can't have one dude that's like the odd man out, because that is very suspicious. You're just automatically going to gravitate towards this dude who doesn't belong.
Totally.
But it's supposed to be people that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
and actual suspects. Like, they're not supposed to mix in like pictures of the police or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is illegal, and because they've done that before, and various courts have said like you can't do that. They have to be actual suspects.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But so what happens if a witness chooses the wrong photo or the wrong, if they're looking at a lineup and they choose the wrong guy, what's the next step?
I don't think you're told whether the person is right or wrong.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, number three. And they're like, you okay,
make
it,
you make an identification and yeah. that's it. And if that's you're it. Wrong, you didn't ID the right person.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Or even if you're right, I don't think they tell you then.
Yeah.
Like, they're just
yeah.
like, thank you for coming in. And then yeah, you know,
exactly.
you leave.
Yeah. Well, so this night of the shooting, when this, it, for whatever reason, it was only one of these five teenagers was taken into this room and asked to make an ID. The shooting had happened, I think it was around 7 p.m. Around 2 a.m. that night, this teenage boy was taken into a room by Deputy Ditch and some other Linwood Viking deputies.
So all the other boys are just like in cells?
I think they're still, they're not in cells, but they're...
Because they're, yeah, they didn't yeah. do anything wrong.
Yeah, but they're still there being interviewed and like asked okay. questions and stuff. Hmm. But for whatever reason, this one boy was taken in and shown this book.
Because he looked pliable.
Deputy Ditch hands this kid this book and says like, show us who was the shooter. Even though you already told us you didn't see the shooter, show us who the shooter was. So this kid is going through the book. He points to someone and Ditch was like, no, that couldn't be the guy. That guy's in jail already. Like, no.
Oh, wow.
Pick another one.
And then he would
point to somebody else and he'd be like, no, and that's not the guy. That guy moved away. He's not
okay.
in town.
So we have this because it was on video?
I believe that this is what the witness said.
The witness is saying. Okay.
Yeah, how it went down.
Yeah, because I'm like, he wouldn't put this on video because this
is so
illegal.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
So finally he's gone through and pointed at several people and Deputy Ditch is like, no, that's not your guy. That guy's like got a bum leg like that.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like, wait, maybe check the left corner.
Yeah, exactly. So finally the kid points to Carrillo and Deputy Ditch, like completely his demeanor changes. He's like, you got it. That's your guy.
Wow.
Yeah. And this witness who's.
So where's Deputy Ditch? Are you going to get into this?
Yes, I will. I will tell you what has happened to him.
I want to kick him in the groin.
Welcome to Hashtag History. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Leah. And if you're a history nerd or even a history hater, this is the podcast for you.
Even if history was your least favorite subject in school, we can guarantee you will like this podcast because we talk about all the things that your history textbooks did not.
Things like how the Bonnie Prince Charles and his Jacobite uprising was a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, or how the pharaoh Akhenaten was so disliked by Egyptians that they literally purged his name from nearly all of their records and pretended like he had never existed.
And we do all of this while drinking and rating a custom-made cocktail specific to that week's topic.
So grab a drink, take a seat, and hang out with us each week as we learn all about history's greatest stories of controversy,
conspiracy,
and corruption.
But so, yeah, this witness who is like just watched his friend's father be shot is furious. Yeah. Is like, that's the guy that killed my friend's dad. Like, what the fuck? So he leaves and goes and tells all of his other friends, oh, this Carrillo kid is the one that shot your dad.
Yeah, because the cops just said that's who shot him.
Okay. Yeah. And so then all the other witnesses line up to blame Carrillo for this as well. Yeah. So one of Carrillo's lawyers said, that suggests that Ditch didn't really care who did it so much as he cared about putting one more suspected gang member behind bars. So 6 days later, Frankie Carrillo was arrested for murder. So even though Frankie's father provided him with a solid alibi.
Oh my God.
The district attorney's office went after him anyways. And they actually had to try him twice because the first trial ended in a hung jury. But then, before the second trial, the prosecution's main witness, this one kid who made the identification, told prosecutors that his identification was wrong and that Carrillo, it was a mistake.
Oh.
That he believed that Carrillo was innocent. But when Deputy Ditch heard about this, that he had taken back his identification,
uh-oh,
he cornered his witness outside of the courtroom and was like yelling at him, pointing his finger in his face. And he's like, he told him that there would be, quote, negative consequences when he was out in the streets.
Oh, my God. Being so explicit.
But this witness held his ground and he believed that Frankie Carrillo was innocent. So back in the trial, The prosecution claimed that he had recanted his testimony because he had been pressured by gang members. And the jury believed it.
So they can just make up whatever the fuck they want? Like, he never said that I was pressured by a gang member. Like,
no.
He probably said, like, hey, this cop is trying to jam me up.
Yeah.
To make me change my story.
No, they're like, oh, you know, the reason that they were being shot at was because they were suspected for being Crips. So, like, this is clearly gang-related that he's taking it back. It's idiotic. So, despite having a solid alibi and the loss of the prosecution's best witness, Frankie Carrillo was convicted of murder and convicted of multiple counts of attempted murder as well. So, the private investigator that I talked about last week, David Lynn, was following this trial while this was all going down, and he knew that something wasn't right. He's like, this looks really fishy. So he started looking for information about who might have actually been the real killer.
Look at him doing the work of the police.
I know. In a deposition, he said that he got a tip from someone and actually found a man who ended up confessing to him. Because he said that Carrillo shouldn't have to go to prison for something he didn't do. So the next day, Lynn took this guy to court on the day of Carrillo's sentencing. He'd already been convicted, but he was going back to court for sentencing. Lynn took the guy who confessed into the court, and the judge refused to let him testify.
What?
And denied Lynn's proposal to delay the sentencing.
Okay, do we know about the judge? Like, what is going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the judge, but he basically was like, you're part of the young crowd, and you're just trying to, like, get your friend off. You know what I mean? Like, you're just trying to throw the trial because you're a gang member too.
But he's confessing. Like, that's...
No, the judge was saying he hadn't really done it.
To get him off? But, like, he's saying that I did this. So, like, no one is getting off. Like, someone who said he did the crime is saying, like, I want to serve the penalty for this crime that I did. Like, it's...
Look at you trying to make sense of this.
I know. I'm just, like... I guess it's more paperwork for them, but someone has said, like, I confess. Like, I did this.
I mean, I would guess. I don't know all the details.
Yeah,
I would guess, though, that the judge is probably on the side of these Linwood Vikings, who's like, he's a gang member. He should go to prison no matter whether he did it or not. Basically, Carrillo's lawyer said, quote, it was this kind of tunnel vision. They're so immersed in just putting these young kids in prison.
Yeah.
So Carrillo received a life sentence with no possibility of parole.
That is outrageous.
It was like multiple sentences because it was murder and then attempted murder. Like, he was eligible for parole in like 200 years or something like that. Basic, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
And how old was he at the time?
I think by the time he was sentenced, he was 18. He was originally in juvie, and then they sent him to an adult prison. And then the legal team, the prosecution, was like, look how hard he got when he went to the adult prison. Like, he looks like a gang member when before he was just a 16-year-old kid. But he's been in fucking jail for 2 years.
Yeah.
So the prosecution was like, look at him. He just looks like a criminal.
That's such trash. Like, the way our whole... system of incarceration is like so fucked up. Like, how it's not about rehabilitation at all. Mm-hmm. It's about punishment. It's about, like, we are creating criminals by the environment that we're placing them in. People who are totally innocent, who have just been in this environment where people are predatory by design.
Absolutely.
It's just it's so heartbreaking, especially to know that this is not an isolated thing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, we only know about this because this one case was famous, but it sounds like the Vikings were doing this to countless other young men who were suspected gang members, even though they had no proof against them.
How many lives were ruined?
Seriously, yeah. And the whole case hinged on witness tampering, because Deputy Ditch and other high-ranking Linwood Vikings cared more about putting away a potential young crowd member than they cared about justice for Donald Sarpy and his family, or the life of a young man that they had no proof against at all. None.
They didn't care about putting away gang members.
No.
Like, come on. Let's.
Well, I mean, they were in a gang themselves. They saw them as competition. It was like a rival gang. That was the whole point of setting up a gang in the first place. Was the original thought with the original deputy gang was that they wanted to see themselves as a rival gang and fight fire with fire, essentially. That was the whole fucking point of all of this.
They just wanted to do violence.
And yeah, exactly.
They're justifying exactly. it. And yeah. Like, I'm not convinced, but okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're the good violent person.
Exactly.
Okay.
I know.
Get the
yeah.
fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're so noble as proven by your methods. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You totally care about what's right.
They just literally, you're just terrorizing entire communities of people because they look
Thank
different
you.
From you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's just, it's so upsetting that a lot of these gang members, these like sheriff gangs, are people of color.
Yeah.
Who are preying on their own communities.
Yeah.
It's a fucking mess.
Yeah.
I feel like just white supremacy ruins everyone. It really
Seriously.
Just does.
Yeah.
Yeah. This system is, yeah, fundamentally corrupt.
So from prison, Frankie Carrillo wrote letters to private attorneys, the ACLU, the California Office of the Inspector General, and the Innocence Project, but no one would take his case.
Oh.
No one wanted to touch it.
Shit.
But finally, 15 years in prison, he finally found an assistant state public defender who agreed to take on his case and spent the next 5 years working on it. Mm. At the hearing, 5 out of the 6 witnesses recanted their original testimony, while the sixth invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. After a week-long hearing, the Superior Court judge vacated his sentence, and Francisco Carrillo was released on March 16th, 2011, after over 20 years in prison. Once released, he filed a civil rights suit against LA County, and his legal team questioned Deputy Ditch about his ties to the Vikings. Ditch admitted on the record that he was a member of the Viking gang, but said that this was just a group of hardworking men and women who trained and worked at the Linwood Station, and insisted that they weren't racist or abusive at all in any way.
In any way, though.
Yeah. When this team asked him if he thought that Carrillo was guilty,
He said, I don't have a racist bone in my body.
Yeah, all of his bones are racist.
It was my femur. Yes. My femur made me do this.
Oh, my God. So when he was asked if he thought that Carrillo was guilty, he said yes. He still believed that Carrillo was guilty. And when he was asked if he was upset that Carrillo was being released, he said, quote, "It just gives me job security. I have no problem with that. If the system thinks that he should be released, who am I to say? I'll find them at another time and another place doing the wrong thing, and they'll go to jail." He's basically like, this person is a criminal born and bred, and they can go ahead and let him out, and I'll send him back.
That explains a lot of law enforcement.
Yeah.
This is why they fabricate evidence. They just have this like emotional feeling that like this person did it.
Deputy Ditch,
I'm already
retired.
Deeply depressed.
He retired from the department in 2013 with a 6-figure pension.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God. So he had all of these like allegations against him for
so many.
That plays no factor in his pension at all.
Nope,
like that
no. Taxpayers from LA County paid millions and millions and millions of dollars because of civil suits brought against the county because of this one man. I mean, let alone all of the other Vikings and all of the other things that happened. But yeah, this one man cost the county. Well, in 2016, Los Angeles County settled Carrillo's case for over $10.1 million.
Wow.
$500,000 for every year of his life spent wrongfully imprisoned. This was the largest per annum settlement for wrongful imprisonment in California history. And of course, it was all funded by taxpayers.
I really think the only way to get rid of police brutality and like just all of these instances of like cops just getting away with doing the worst things and ruining lives is to make them have insurance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make them liable financially.
Mm-hmm.
This shit would stop instantly. Literally
yeah.
instantly. Like, why is someone at a nail salon more liable for ruining someone's life than someone who kills someone with a gun on the job?
Yeah, like, totally.
It makes no sense. But then again, white supremacy. Here we go.
The settlements for these suits should come out of the police budget.
Yeah. I think it should come out of their personal pocket.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that too. Yeah.
Why don't they have insurance? Like, why is it the taxpayer's burden to shoulder this?
Because they have so much power. They have, you know what I mean?
They have the best lawyers, yeah.
All of the politicians are on their side, and whether they want to be or not, you know what I mean? They're sort of powerless against the police.
I just wish that all of these, like, right-wingers who are so pro-police really understood that, like, their tax burden is being increased because of these people that you support.
They don't care about that. They just want to be right. That's, like, look at what's going on in Florida right now. DeSantis is trying to, like, take away some status from Disney to own Disney, but it's going to end up costing Florida taxpayers.
Like, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, Disney should have never had been their own government in Florida.
Yeah, totally.
That's trash. Like, you shouldn't be able to buy into this sort of, like, category where you're your own government in Florida. Get the fuck out of here. So I don't know.
That's Florida for
you. I know that is Florida, but, like, I think that this is ultimately going to be good because Disney's not backing down and DeSantis isn't backing down because he's running for president, and it's just going to hurt Florida, and, like, that sucks for them. But also, I shouldn't say you're Florida, but, like, I mean, maybe you're Florida?
You voted for DeSantis. He's, you know what I mean? He's there for a reason. You did this to yourself.
Yes. And I feel like I can say this because I am from the Florida of the Midwest. And there's a lot of really awful things happening in Ohio right now. And it is because people elected these guys to do these horrible things. So you really have no one to blame but yourself.
True story. Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Like, I'm sorry that the consequences of your actions have hurt you, but no one told you to do this.
Well, no one told them that there would be consequences.
I mean,
this is the first time in history that white people have ever had
consequences. Right. You're right. Damn, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Here I am thinking that there are consequences to every action, but, like, I am black. So
silly.
I know. I'm a silly goose.
On the loose.
So, yeah, thank you for that story, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, what a ride. I'm like, okay, maybe this cop is going to get it in the end. And, like, in my head, I'm like,
he's going to get a six-figure pension. If that's what you meant by it.
No, that's not what I meant by it. And, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, Stephanie, protect your mind. Like, he's not going to go to jail. Protect your mind. He's not going to go to jail. But I did not foresee the six-figure payout.
Yeah.
From putting innocent people in jail. But then again, he's part of a sheriff gang.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank you for doing this story. Like, I had heard things, like, bits and pieces, like, you know, whispers, and I'm just like, ooh, I know that this is big. And I did hear about Carrera from a podcast, and I only listened to one episode, and I was so horrified. I'm like, I don't want to know anymore.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
My knowledge hurts me now. But it is really, people need to be aware.
Yeah,
This has happened. This still is happening.
Yeah, the Vikings were big in the 80s and 90s, but there's more gangs in LA now than there were back then. Sheriff's deputy
gangs.
That's
what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said last episode, I'm just like, what?
Yes. I mean, I do think that there is slightly more accountability today.
Definitely. And I think there's a lot of awareness around, especially in LA County.
Yeah.
It's funny how they justify themselves being like, oh no, we're just like a sports team.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's just camaraderie. Mm-hmm. We're not framing people for murders they didn't do. Wink. But yeah, so my drink has been empty for a minute. I assume your drink is also empty.
She gone.
Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lerzel.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, our podfather. We could not do this without him.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.